welcome to Section 9. My name's Damien Hull.
And I'm Dorothy. And today we're going to be talking about project planning and change management.
And this has to do with your Raspberry Pi data center project, where you're trying to connect your Raspberry Pis to the data center. And we've always had an issue with our projects and our change management because we are trying to learn new things. And when you're trying to learn new things, the real question is, how do you create a plan for something you don't really understand? And I even think about this, you know, for work purposes as well, just to try to help myself organize things better. So in our case, in our last project where we put in the new switch for your Raspberry Pi data center, it's not totally complete, but it's connected. And when we did that, we created a change ticket for that using ITOP, and we didn't include everything in that change ticket. But what we did do is we created a backup, and that was our way out. So even if we didn't have everything figured out and we make a mistake somewhere, we can back out of that. So that was kind of the thing I was thinking about when I came up with this idea of how we can do these projects better, because we don't really know what it is we're doing. And so how do you create that plan when you're learning things like Linux and networking with Cisco switches? So that's why I wanted to talk about this. And so the real question is, when you're doing these plans for these projects, because you have your Raspberry Pi data center, you have 4 Raspberry Pis, you have Linux, you have a Cisco switch, you have IP addresses, you have all this stuff going on. So the question is, in any IT project, where do you start? Where's the beginning? There's all this stuff happening. How do you know where to start?
Well, I usually don't. I mean, I know that, I didn't know much about Linux. I still don't know a lot about Linux. I don't know a lot about service and services, but I think that, you know, with the past projects that we have done, you know, I'm beginning to understand the service client, the server client relationship, and, you know, that a server is the thing that provides the services and the client is the thing that uses those services. So I understand that much. And, you know, for me, it's going to be a real test of networking, because I have to tie my project to the network. I have to implement it into the network. So if I had to even begin to think on how to make some sort of plan, you know, the only thing that I know is this: whatever it is that I'm about to do or change, I have to do a backup. You've always taught me that before making any changes to my laptop, the network, or what have you, or a device. You always do a backup, and you have to have a backup plan to be able to put it back together if things don't go right. Beyond that, you know, this is the part that, as a newbie, you know, I can tell you, okay, I'm going to have to know how to do a basic switch configuration. I'm going to have to be able to know how to download Raspbian into my Raspberry Pis and what have you. But beyond that, how do I sit in there and say, this is what I have to do, but I wouldn't even begin to know the many things that, I mean, I don't know what questions to ask because I don't know enough.
Exactly. And you'd be surprised. People who've been in IT for 10 years have the same exact issue. They don't know where to begin, because nobody's ever taken the time to help them, you know, to sit them down and say, okay, this is how a server goes together. This is how a workstation goes together. This is how the network goes together. Now, everybody has their specialty usually. And we're in a situation where we're trying to go into security where we have to do lots of things. So we're doing servers, we're doing a little bit of networking, we're doing a little bit of security. So there's a lot of things that we have to think about. But in any IT project, whether it's a server, a switch, or whatever, there's a lot that goes into that process. And so for a lot of people, the question of where to start becomes a big deal because it's all this stuff happening.
Well, and you know, like I said, I have played with a server to where I have, you know, installed the software and done Active Directory and then DHCP and DNS. You know, I know how to install Raspbian on my Raspberry Pis. I know some Linux commands. But then again, when I'm looking at, how do I know what kind of information I gather? How would I know that I need spanning tree? How would I know that I need those certain ports need to be trunked? Those are the things that, you know, it's difficult to sit in there and know what to plan for.
So this is how we're going to do this. You've already talked about it. The backup. Make sure you have a backup. And so we're going to sit down and talk about or go through the process of getting a backup of your switch configuration, getting a backup of the core switch configuration. And then we're going to practice using that switch configuration and deploying it on that other switch, because you have two switches sitting on your desk.
Right.
One's for your data center and one you're not using. So we're going to use that second one to practice. And we're going to come up with a process of restoring the configuration of a switch. So you can see how that works.
So we're going to document how we do the backup with the basic switch configuration. And then we're going to pretend it's screwed up and we have to put it back and document that also?
Yes, we're going to do that.
Okay.
Because the thing that I was thinking about, and this happens, you know, in larger organizations that are more organized, they will make sure that they have a good backout plan or fallback plan or rollback plan or a process by which people understand how to put something back together. And they'll make sure that that process is documented. And they'll make sure that before somebody does something, that they have that process as part of their plan. So when the maintenance comes up and they have to do whatever it is, configure a switch, in this case, is what you're doing. When your maintenance window is active, you have everything you need. You see that something's going wrong. You see you don't have something. Something's missing. Something's not working properly. Fallback plan. Put everything back together and walk away. And just say, you know what? I tried. It didn't work. I stopped.
Well, I think that the luxury we also have is like what we were talking about last week when we were making some changes to our server and there were devices that would be affected by it came up. You know, I don't think that they do have that in a lot of the environments. At least I know that where I work, they don't have that kind of thing because I asked. So how do you begin to make a plan when you don't know, or how do you figure, okay, this device is going to affect this other devices and I need to make sure that I have backup for all of it? Or how would you even do that?
So in this case, you're only making a backup of the things that you're going to be making changes to. So the core switch, you're going to have to access that. You may not be making changes to it, but I want you to have a backup. Your switch for the data center, you may be making changes to that. I want you to have a backup. And the reason for that is that those are the devices you're going to be making changes to. You don't know what changes you're going to be making. You may not have a plan that covers everything. So as you are trying to implement these changes, as you're trying to learn something from these devices, gathering information, oh, I made a mistake. Oh, I typed in a command when I wasn't supposed to. Go to the backup, put it back in there, put everything back to the way it was. And there may be just simple mistakes that you're going to make. Like on the core switch, I want you to use that to gather some information. You're not going to make any changes to it, but let's say you accidentally type something in there that you weren't supposed to. And now the switch is broken, doesn't work properly. Well, you're going to have a process for putting the correct configuration back and then making sure that that functions properly.
So when you gather information, how do you know what kind of information to gather? Is it something like for me, from what we did last week, we were looking at the before and after, before we did certain things. So for me, it would be like looking at a baseline, which I guess looking at the information ahead of time is the closest thing you would have to a baseline. Like what is it showing in here? And then what is it that we're trying to configure? And what does it look like after we configure it compared to the very first thing that we saw when we were trying to do the root bridge? So, you know, is that what you do? Is that how you gather information? Is that what you mean by gathering information, looking at it before you do anything?
So here's how I want you to think of this. Everything is interconnected, right? So for your Raspberry Pi data center, you want to connect your Raspberry Pis to your switch that you have sitting on your desk that's for the data center. Well, you can't connect those to the switch just yet because the switch is not configured. You won't be able to do anything on the network side until the switch is configured. So in this case, the first thing you need to do is worry about the switch. Then you can go and worry about your Raspberry Pi and Raspbian and how you get those configured so that they do function on the network. And that's a whole different set of information. So what you try to do here is you try to say, okay, what am I trying to do? In this case, the first thing you want to do is you want to take a look at the Cisco switch that's on your desk and say, okay, what's missing here? It's connected to the network. We have trunking working, but now I know there's something else missing. I don't know what that is, but it's missing. Because it's connected to the core switch and because those two things talk to each other, you need to go to the core switch and find out what's going on with the core switch. What information is on here that I need to know to be able to correctly configure this other switch where I'm going to be plugging in my Raspberry Pis? So you're going to use that core switch and you're going to use a bunch of show commands to figure out what's going on with that particular switch and find the things that relate to you and your project. And sometimes other people won't be able to give you any information because they don't know. And maybe it's because there's no documentation. Maybe it's because they don't understand what your project is, or it could be a combination of both. And you may be it, and you may be the one who has to go dig up this information. And you may have no idea what you're looking for until you see it. And then you see it and it's like, oh, well, that's what I want. And that has to go over here. That's kind of what I want you to do. So I'll be here to help you with that. But what I kind of want you to do is go through the process of saying, I don't know really what I'm looking for, but we're going to go take a look at the configurations on this device and see what's here. And then you're going to drag that, whatever it is you think you need, over to the other switch that you have. And we're going to do some testing on that to see if what you think is correct is actually correct.
Okay.
And we'll play around with it.
All right.
And some of the commands that you type in on your second switch, as long as we double check them to make sure they're not going to affect the rest of the network, you should be able to just dump it on there and see what happens.
All right.
And see if things work the way they're supposed to. So again, you're going to be working on the switch piece first, and then you're going to work on the Raspberry Pis with your Raspbian. Because again, you're trying to connect with the network. If the switch is not configured, then your Raspberry Pis, even if they're configured correctly, won't be able to talk on the network. Once you gather your information, then you can form a plan. Once you have a plan, in most of these IT management systems, you submit a plan. The plan is rejected or approved. If it's approved, then you go to the implementation stage where you define when you're going to do this and how long it's going to take and all that kind of stuff. And then somebody will approve that and you get to go do that.
So are you expecting me to submit a plan to you of what I'm about to do?
Yeah, and we'll sit down and take the information that you've gathered, which you can actually have in your change management ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And then we try to build a plan off of that. And again, your plan is not going to be perfect because we don't know everything. You're new to this, so it's going to be missing things. And sometimes, even in production environments, when we get new technology, new software, new something, we're not entirely sure what the plan is going to be.
Well, and that's been kind of a consistent thing that we start a project and we have this plan and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we need to make this part of the plan once we gather more information or something happens that is not working right. And you're like, oh, we're missing this. So the plans are always kind of fluid in a way because we're having to add or take something out or modify something just to make it work, you know, according to the needs of whatever it is we're doing in our project. So that I kind of expect.
So you're going to gather information, form a plan, then you're going to go into implementation where you actually, make modifications to the switch, make modifications to your Raspbian Lite on the Raspberry Pis, and then you're going to document the process that you took to make these changes happen. So you have your checklist and you have a record of what you did.
I also would like to have an item like verification that it works. I don't know what you want to call it. I mean, I guess it wouldn't be troubleshooting because nothing is really wrong as far as we know. But, you know, before we document it, shouldn't we have something that says, okay, let's verify that what we just implemented is actually working.
Right. And so that should be part of your plan. Like when I worked for the ISP, we had this software that would tell us whether or not something was up or down. So normally what I would do is I would go to that first and say, hey, all these things are up and this is all part of that part of the network that I'm working on. They're all green. They're good. And then when I go make my change and I'm done, I go back to that again and I say, okay, is everything green? Is everything functioning? Is there anything else that I should worry about? Like, did my change affect other things on the network? Did something else go down because of my changes?
For me, verifying is more about actually understanding how it works. Because once that we do all of that, at the end, when we actually verify that it's working and you actually see how something has been implemented and how it's talking to a different device or, you know, we successfully make it part of the network. For me, that verification is like, okay, now I know why I did what I did, and this is how it works.
Yeah, and that should be part of your plan, so that in your plan you have commands. Oh, hey, this is going to be a switch, so I need to do some testing on the network. Maybe you want to ping something on the network, ping a default gateway, ping the internet. Do I really have connectivity all the way through the network? Because maybe you say, okay, the switch is configured, I made some changes, but well, wait a minute, I just tested my workstation on the switch and I don't have connectivity to anything. Like something's wrong.
Right.
So at that point, you have to make a decision. Do I try to correct my mistake and figure out what's wrong, or do I use my rollback plan? And let's just put everything back to the way it was and walk away. And then we'll come back and try to figure out where I made my mistake and then create a new plan and maybe a new ticket and say, okay, that first ticket failed. Let's try this again. So those kinds of things happen, and they happen a lot. As long as you have a process in place where you have a way of getting out, you should be fine. And in this case, we're on a test network. So even if you make a mistake, now if you make a mistake on the core switch, that's going to be a little bit difficult to fix.
Right.
But if you have a backup of that and you back up everything on there, we should be able to put it back to the way it was before and you should be fine.
Right. No, that makes sense.
So that's the basics of that. And then when we get into change management, because that's the process you're going to use for planning and implementing the project. You know, you gather your information and then you plan and then you implement. And then, of course, the last thing you always do is document that. But we need the change management process that we're going to use. So that's kind of the order things are going to go in. Within ITOP, and you haven't seen this yet because we really haven't used it, but within ITOP, when you go to create your change management ticket, you can have kind of like a master ticket, and then you can have child tickets underneath that. And it's kind of like a project management process. So you're going to create a master ticket, and I think it's like the parent ticket. And then underneath that, you're going to have a ticket for the switch, and then you're going to have a ticket for a Raspberry Pi. And then when you complete both tickets, then you can check off the primary ticket, and then we know, okay, this project is done. You actually completed all of the tasks necessary to get your Raspberry Pis connected to the network. Now you can move on to whatever other step you want to do. So sometimes a project will have multiple things that have to happen, and maybe multiple people have to be involved, and this is one way of organizing all of that. That underneath this one ticket, you did these four or five things.
Yeah, makes sense.
So that's kind of how we're going to organize stuff. And we'll see how it goes. Again, If we take the time to figure out a process, then we can always repeat the process. And we know every time you do something on the switch, this is how you're going to do it. Every time you make a change to a Linux server, this is how you're going to do it. And here's the backup plan that we have for those two kind of situations. So for your switch, your backup process is going to be, copying the running configuration. Now, one of the things that we haven't talked about is your VLANs. They're not in the running config. So that's one thing that we want to look at. We want a process for making sure we understand how to back up or at least copy the information we need to recreate the VLANs and the port assignments to those VLANs.
Well, you did say that part of my homework was to find out what VLAN, the switch was going to be on and the subnetting part of it and everything. So, I have to do a diagram, a network diagram of my Raspberry Pis and the switch. And
right.
And then on how to connect it to the network. And at that time, once we have the diagram, I think that should be like the first thing that I need to do before I start gathering any more information.
But that's also part of that information gathering process. Mm-hmm. So as you do your diagram, you're going to need information to put on that diagram, the devices you have,
IP like you addresses.
Said, VLAN, IP mm-hmm. addresses, these are some things that you're going to need to know in order to set up your data center.
Mm-hmm.
And that diagram is going to be part of that information gathering process. And a lot of times, some organizations, they don't have that. So, you know, it's
I would think that the diagram is more,
is
part of the plan, but it's also part of the documentation.
It is.
Because.
And it's hard to do any kind of real planning without a network diagram. I just find it hard to do that.
I need to see it. There's no way that I can even begin to gather information unless I see, you know, what's supposed to look like, what is connected to. So then I can just start saying, okay, this is this part, it's connected to this part, and it's supposed to connect to the network this way, and then try to figure out, okay, what kind of subnets do I have? And, you know, like you said, VLANs, whatever, they need to be connected to. We need to make sure that we know. Because if you don't know that information, you can't connect it properly.
No, you can't.
No matter how good you have things configured, it ain't going to happen.
Right, right. So to summarize here, we have a master ticket or a parent ticket. You're going to have child tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And underneath the child tickets, you're going to have, or for child tickets, you're going to have one for the switch and then one for your Raspberry Pi. And on the switch side, since that's the first thing you're going to do, you're going to create backups. You're going to gather your information. And most of that information is going to come from the core switch. Not all of it is going to come from there, but a lot of it is, because you're going to try to configure your switch 2 to be able to connect those Raspberry Pis. And then you're going to use that other switch for testing. And there's going to be a lot of documentation that we're going to be doing here, because we don't have a process for a lot of the things that we're going to be doing. In fact, we have no process for any of it. So this is going to be an interesting thing. We may end up having to create several tickets before we even get to the one that you're going to do for connecting everything to the data center.
There also an issue about the logs?
Yeah, so we're going to get to the logs later on, and that's where Splunk comes in.
Okay.
And that's another thing where it's one of those projects where it's new technology, and the question is, where do I start?
Right.
And even though Splunk has documentation that's pretty good, I found it to be confusing and hard to understand, and in some cases you follow the instructions and it stops. And what they say you're supposed to see, you look at what you have on your screen and it's not there. And so it's like, okay, well, why isn't it there? Do I have something different? Is this not matching up with the documentation because mine's different? Or is it not matching the documentation because I did something wrong? So there's a lot of things that go into these projects where, again, it's hard to form a plan because it's new and we don't know what's really going on.
Well, and also as you make the plan, other things come up. And you go, oh, wait, we need to include this. Oh, wait, we need to gather more information on that. So, you know, it's never easy, is it?
No, but again, I think this all goes back to having a process.
Mm-hmm.
And your checklists are part of a process. When we document how we do the tickets, that's going to be a process. And we can say, okay, in every plan, you have to have these 10 things. If you don't have these 10 things, one of which may be a backup.
Backup, plan. Put back plan, what do you call that? Rollback plan,
yeah.
You know, troubleshooting, verification, that all has to be, those are non-negotiable.
Right, right. But you know, as an organization, as a department, you know, mm-hmm. if you're in an IT department, if upper management is not saying these things have to be there, then what you end up with is chaos, because people don't know they're supposed to do that. And in some cases, when you try to introduce these things, people complain. Because they say, well, I never had to do that before. Why do I have to do it now? Or I'm just going to remember. I'm going to know it's working. Why do I have to test it?
You don't remember. I mean, no matter how good you are, I can honestly tell you that you can sit in there. I say this to myself all the time when I'm doing a project and I'm like, well, I'll document this later. I'll remember. And then I'm like, what was that about? What was I supposed to document, kind of thing? So I don't rely on that. To me, documentation, you know, with what we've been doing lately, is just so valuable that it allows me to forget. But it also is such a good source to have in there, because even the lightest documentation, even if it's not like step by step or whatever, it has a flow and a sense of direction to where you can fill in the blanks if you have to. I mean, someone like with your experience, for me, I'd rather have the step by step. But for somebody that like yourself or other people that have more experience, just having at least some kind of documentation, some kind of guideline in there that could cue you into, okay, yeah, and this needs to be added. And yeah, this right here, you know. So I think it's the most valuable thing. To me, it really opened my eyes. It's a royal pain in the butt because sometimes when you're sitting in there trying to figure out how to make something work and you're in the middle of it trying to figure out, wait, why is this not working? You don't want to have to stop and say, oh, need to change the step, or, oh, gosh, I need to make another note, or I need to go up here and change this and that and the other. But if you do, it's worthwhile, because at the end, you're going to have something that you can follow and rely on.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is kind of, for me, this is big, because now we have, or we will have, we should have, when we're done with all of this, a process for managing new projects. Because the hardest thing is just to figure out, and I've been in IT for years, and we've always had this problem. You and I have always had this problem. So it's only now as I begin to, you know, now that I have the security job, and the security job is really focusing on the process. That's one of the biggest things you have to do in security, is you have to have a repeatable process so that when you tell somebody, we need to have change management, here's how we're going to do it. We need to make sure that these 10 applications are on these systems and nothing else. You know, approved software, approved devices, inventory. What's the process for all of that? How do you repeat that several times over? You have to have, you know, your 10 steps, your 20 steps, or whatever. So in this case, we're going to come up with a bunch of steps that we can follow for our change management process. And we're going to say, new project, new technology, I don't know. Here are the 10 things I have to have in order for my project to be approved.
Yeah, because some of them are concepts that you can't ignore.
Exactly. And sometimes I do ignore them and I say, okay, I'm going to just do this. And then what happens? I run into problems. And then what happens? I make things worse. And then I'm in a situation where maybe I can't back out of that all that easily because I didn't follow some basics, like test it someplace else first, not on a production equipment. So if I mess up in the test environment, who cares, right? So those are some things that we have to implement and things that we have to follow and force ourselves to do that. Because even at work, sometimes, you know, you're busy, you're doing something, you don't want to have to take the time to document something because it may take you, like when we do our change ticket, it may take us a day to gather all the necessary information and it may take us another day to figure out how we're going to write the plan. So those are some things that, you know, once we get used to doing that, they'll shrink a bit.
Well, and not only that, I mean, and you heard this before, people don't like to really take the time to plan the whole thing or whatever because they don't have that kind of time at work. But sometimes, you know what, give up that time just for the one day to be able to get that done and save a bunch of time down the road.
Exactly. Because if you know, your documentation is helping us, as you said, forget. Mm-hmm. So now when we go to do something, we go to the documentation.
Yeah.
And like when you get ready to go do your Raspberry Pi implementation, where you have to actually go configure certain services on those Raspberry Pis in Raspbian, you don't have to think about it. You pull out the documentation, follow the steps. The only time you're going to have an issue is when you run into a problem, like it doesn't work the way you had it functioning in the lab environment on the VM.
Yeah, but we hashed out a lot of the problems that were coming up while we were trying to install the services and when we're doing on my virtual machines. So the major things have already been dealt with. Whatever other problems we may have, they're going to be narrowed down to not the ones that we had before because we already dealt with that. So then we don't have to waste time going back and doing, you know, anything that came up in the past, we'll be able to sit in there and say, okay, we've already troubleshoot all of this and we know this is not it. So what's next? Where do we go from here? What's the problem or what could be the problem, you know? So yeah, no, it's going to be a long process, but at the end of the day, I think we're going to be pretty satisfied with the results and with what we're going to come up with documentation-wise and plan-wise. I think it's really going to be helpful.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. So this is gonna be good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
No, you?
No, I think that's it. If you want to take a look at our show notes, you can go to section9.us. And if you have any comments or questions, you can email us at info@section9.us.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening.